today's gospel highlights an aspect of healing that, to a large extent, we still haven't come to grips with, even today. Although we have a much better understanding of mental illness and have much more effective treatments than 50 or 100 years ago, we still fall far short of the ideal in terms of meeting the needs of a society where there is almost an epidemic in psychiatric complaints, particularly amongst young people. What is needed, as was also the case in Jesus' community some 2,000 years ago, is not just a healing of the illness, but also a healing of the community itself. The education and development of attitudes and understanding of that society in which the sufferer lived. It's probably the same, and it's probably the cause of their illness, rejection by those in the community. So let's look at the healing which is presented to us today. A healing, as all healing is, a miraculous act in the New Testament. And it offers us a glimpse of God's will for all his people, a glimpse of what life could be in the kingdom come, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. The story begins with Jesus landing on the shore of the lake opposite Galilee, the region of the Gerasenes. The area is largely Gentile territory. For the uninitiated, that's non-Jewish, which tells that Jesus is beginning to extend his ministry into foreign lands. The first indication that this mission is universal, not just to the Jewish nation. And when he lands there, his first encounter is with a demon-possessed man. A madman, we'd probably call him today. Naked and obviously crazed, the man lived among the tombs of the local graveyard. On encountering Jesus, the man falls down at his feet and shouts at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me." There's a significance here in that the man addressed Jesus by name. And this follows a tradition in those times that to know and call somebody by name gave the addresser power over the addressee. Jesus was not fazed by this and commands the unclean spirits, the demons, to come out of the man. He then asks the name of the demons who possess this poor man, to which he gets the reply, "Legion," meaning many. The demons also beg Jesus not to send him into the abyss. Presumably this would mean destruction for them. In St. Mark's version of the story, we are told that those demons numbered around 2,000. A popular belief of the times was that exorcised spirits caused chaos among the onlookers. The demons begged Jesus to let them enter a herd of pigs who are grazing nearby, which gives a spectacular centerpiece to this story as the crazed pigs rush down the hill to drown themselves in the lake. This was thought to be a late tradition by the Jewish community, who would have seen the decimation of the pigs as a cleansing of the territory in preparation for Jesus' coming mission. To the Jews of that region, pigs were unclean, animals unfit for food or for any other use. Additionally, it was probably an image of what the people of that region would have wanted to do to the Romans, to drive them into the sea. So despite this spectacular sight of 2,000 poor pigs charging headlong into the sea, we must return to the main feature of this story, This poor chap who had suffered through many years of madness or possession, as they knew it, by those unclean spirits. The swineherd who had witnessed the event rushed into the local town in a panic and tells everyone what he'd just seen. So people come out and find their local madman, now clothed, sitting in his right mind and talking to Jesus. Not understanding the significance of what had happened, the people are seized with fear, and they ask Jesus to leave. So he climbs back into the boat to set sail. The man who had been healed asked to go with him. He knows that people of the town, his neighbours, his local community would never accept him now, especially now because of what fear and superstition gripped them. He knew he would be still rejected. However, Jesus tells the man to go home and tell people what God has done for him. So he returns to the city in which he lived, telling people what Jesus had done for him. Note a subtle change here. Jesus tells the man to proclaim what God had done for him. So he goes and tells people what Jesus had done for him. This attests to the fact that Jesus was working in the power of God. God and Jesus were one. Slight little nuances which tell us a great deal. So as a church today, what can we learn from this story? Well, firstly, we see Jesus' healing ministry and his task to proclaim God's love now being extended to all people, regardless of race, condition, or religion. His first encounter, this healing, was in Gentile territory. And a healing was given to an outcast of the community. And involving this anti-Jewish image of pigs. So we are told in these few short sentences that all are worthy of Jesus' ministry, not just God's chosen people, the Jews, which earlier in the gospel we are told was Jesus' aim, to preach the gospel to the Jews. Secondly, we hear that the healed man is told to go back to his community and tell them of God's love. Is healing being a sign of God's love available to all who would come to him? Despite the fact that perhaps we'd all prefer to stay close to Jesus, basking in the comfort of his church, a community of like-minded fellow Christians, we also are commanded to go out and tell others. As in that story, to friends and neighbours of the community in which we live. To tell people what God has done through Jesus for us. As Jesus told that healed man, go home and tell them what God has done for you. So despite the spectacular events of this story, a wild man living naked in a graveyard, terrifying local inhabitants, a stampede of pigs rushing to their death into a lake, and the healing of a man rejected by his local community and feared by many, what we are left with, discounting these spectacular details and events, is the message that God's healing love is available to everyone despite their prejudices and ignorance, and that it's we who have experienced that love to go out and tell others. I wanted to leave you with a key phrase or a note to remember. It will be that last line of Jesus' conversation with the man. The line I want to leave you with today: go home and tell them what God has done for you. Go home and tell them what God has done for you. Amen.